Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the continuing coverage of Dragon Con. You're listening to the Star Wars Report. I'm Riley.
And I'm Bethany. We had a wonderful time at the convention today.
Yes.
A little tired now, but we had a great time.
You're not kidding. It is now 11:13 p.m. Friday night, and this is indeed Friday's update/schedule. We're going to talk about... we're going to do these daily episodes talking about what went down at the convention. Really more for us so that we can just remember what happened.
Yeah.
Well,
we are here to bring you coverage of the con. Basically, tell you what we saw, what we did, who said what, when, and where.
Yeah.
Basically, give you guys the scoop.
Exactly. And this is the Star Wars Report, so this is definitely going to have a Star Wars flair. But... for our regular podcast listeners, they may not be aware, these episodes are airing daily on Middle Earth Network Radio as well, which is awesome. We're kind of acting correspondents, I guess is what you'd call us. I'm not really sure what our technical term would be, but we'd be providing cool stuff.
We'd be providing. Oh, yeah. Well, and what this means is basically Riley and I have a number of science fiction and fantasy interests.
Yes, we do.
And that includes Tolkien and C.S. Lewis. We also like some of the other science fiction channel shows, some of them that we've only watched a couple episodes, some of them we've only just kind of begin hearing about. And I am mispronouncing every other word because I'm tired.
Yes.
So you'll have to forgive me. But anyway, we'll be doing, hopefully, interviews, which we've begun setting up, and a little tease there. We're not going to say who yet, just in case any of them fall through. We don't want to disappoint you guys. You know, actors get busy.
Yeah. There are, 60,000 people here?
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. Yeah. We had a recording that we had some trouble with, and both technical trouble and environment trouble. We actually had some...
I like the environment trouble, though.
Yeah. We were doing a recording, and some kids were wondering what on earth we were doing talking into microphones.
Well, actually, to sound more like them, why are you talking into a microphone here? And then it was like, what's a podcast? When we explained that we were doing a podcast. So they were really cute. And
yeah, it was a cute moment. But here we are. It's late. We're back at our place of residence for the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I guess I want to just go over in chronological order what's been going on.
Sure, yeah. We went to the William Shatner panel first.
Mm-hmm.
It is Captain Kirk in Star Trek. And if you don't know that, well then, you should go watch Star Trek.
I think everybody listening to this should
know
that.
I hope. Yeah, if you're listening to this show, you almost certainly know who he is.
Yeah, and... he's a very entertaining fellow.
He is.
I'm by no means a huge Trekkie. We have watched some of the original series and even more of the Next Generation, but...
I'm more of a Trekkie than you are.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And so he told a lot of stories, and there's something about him the way... can I call him Bill? no, actually, I can't. Mr. Shatner can tell a story and kind of... yarn tales, so to speak. He was kind of apologetic at points because I think it's different types of stories that he may have told in the past, and he was just kind of assuming everyone in the crowd may have already heard them, but I hadn't.
I certainly hadn't, and I think the crowd was very pleased. They didn't seem like, oh, we've heard all this before, kind of. The crowd was pretty excited, to say the least.
There's a guy sitting next to us who's taking in every word. Quite literally everywhere. I was look over to the right, and William Shatner would, you know, say something deep, and it was kind of frankly deep. At one point at the panel, he kind of went off a side tangent about he remembered writing a book back in the day of trying to figure out what it was and why people would come to conventions, because he said he used to make the assumption that they were coming to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he found out that wasn't really the case. And he stated that it's more to come and see each other. And that's actually pretty profoundly true. And then he went off to talk about this sort of how geekdom, so to speak, has become a sort of mythological undertone that the American culture and that
Western culture.
Yeah. Well, in that Western culture... doesn't value, and that just kind of isn't present. We have our movie industry, but there's something about geek culture, so to speak, geek quote, whatever you want to call it, nerd. There's something about the Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, Star Trek, these mythologies, modern day myths, that fill a void that isn't filled by mainstream popular movies and television. And I'm not even saying it half as eloquently as Mr. Shatner.
Yeah.
And I think he has a good understanding based on the Star Trek fan base as to what this is, quote unquote. And I don't think anyone's quite put their finger on it. But as events like Comic-Con drawing 120,000,
let me put it this way. Riley and I really like The Lord of the Rings. We really like Star Wars. We like Star Trek. All this stuff. We've said it before.
Sure.
But we can watch interviews and panels from these different conventions and from interviews in the past and from interviewers, I don't know, like CNN, really high quality, good interviewers from people who really know what they're doing. We can find these online. We can sit and watch them probably for weeks.
We can watch the panels on YouTube.
And we can watch the panels on YouTube. So why do we go to conventions? Well, they're fun. Why are they fun? Well, they have a good atmosphere. What's the atmosphere then?
Yeah.
The atmosphere is one of fun and just sort of, there's a camaraderie involved when you do something like that. And you can experience at summer camp when you're a kid.
Yeah,
you can experience
sure.
it in a church group. You can experience it in a number of different places. But the geek culture can actually be quite supportive in ways that people don't expect. When major news outlets cover Comic Con, Dragon Con, these sorts of cons, sometimes they miss the better parts in ways.
Yeah.
They show pictures of massive crowds, perhaps scantily clad people, but I don't know, Riley and I aren't as big a fan as that. But they pick out those aspects, the headline-grabbing news bits. Oh, William Shatner is at the convention. Oh, look at all of these people dressed really, really weirdly.
Yeah.
Look at these massive crowds that are blocking the streets, that sort of thing. They don't look at why we actually go. And we won't touch on this too much because you guys may not be interested in the friends that we mentioned that you've never heard of. And some of you listening to this are
cool
those
people.
Friends.
Yeah.
But we've met really cool people from other websites, people we've talked to on Twitter, on Facebook, people we met at Celebration 5, Star Wars Celebration 5. And anyway, it's mm-hmm. just a really fun event, not just because of the awesome panels and the amazing workshops and the actors you get to see and talk to in person, which we'll get to that in a minute,
mm-hmm.
but because of the people who are around you. The people make the event. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Spree over
so,
now.
That was a tangent off of the William Shatner panel, but a very entertaining fellow and quite the he lives up to that sort of, I can't quite put my finger on it, but it's of his generation. Billy Dee Williams has this sort of flair because it's too easy to say suave, but it's not pure. I guess I would call him a modern gentleman, and I mean that in the more traditional sense. I'm not talking about him being suave with the ladies, which is also kind of his reputation, but he genuinely was enjoying himself and genuinely was there to entertain in the oldest and more traditional sense of the word, his audience. And
yes,
he's good at it.
He's a storyteller. He's good at it.
Yeah, definitely. But then our festivities did not end there. We went straight from that to had a brief break. There are 30 minutes between panels, and usually that's just enough time to catch your breath and get to the next panel.
Yeah, it can sometimes take you, depending on the crowds, 10 minutes to get to one panel to the other.
Yeah, yeah.
You could count on 5 at least.
Mm-hmm.
So if you needed to take a bathroom break, get some water,
yeah,
say hi to people, try to find a meet up with friends, any of that sort of stuff, you know, the 30 minutes between panels was necessary just to get around and, yeah, catch your breath.
Yeah, and there's a reason that they do that. Excuse me. Wow. Tired. the time between panels is, like we said, is very necessary, but also all the panels match up that I blanked for a second, sorry, match up that same time frame. So you have a panel at 10, a panel at 11:30, a panel at, you know, 1, and so forth and so on. So, yes, the next panel.
And to mention, there are multiple panels going on at the same time.
You might say that. Yeah.
8 panels running at the same time, roughly, or more than that. I think I read on DragonCon's website a while ago. We'll look it up for a recap episode and give more information about DragonCon itself. But there are thousands of hours worth of content, or was it hundreds? I don't know.
It was insane.
A digit that made me drop my mouth open.
Yeah, we're just going between 3 or 4 fan tracks. We're going between the podcasting, the Trek track, the Star Wars track, the Lord of the Rings track, or the Tolk track. They have a sign outside their door. Literally, it says T-O-L-K. And I think there's a kind of crude wizard scratched on the sign. And it's called the Tolk track.
Tolkien.
Go figure. The next panel we went was Meet the Fan Groups. It was a Star Wars panel hosted with various Star Wars fan organizations, specifically costuming organizations. The 501st, Rebel Legion, Jedi Assembly, Dark Empire. There, I think I got them all. Oh,
Mandalorian Mercs.
Not to forget, he's no good to me dead.
Or not mentioned.
Yeah. So, let's see. That was a good panel. As a person who's pretty interested in actually building a Star Wars costume for the, and possibly joining someone like the 501st, it was very informative for me. Not in so much of the actual information that was there, but more for the, how would I say it? I guess interacting with them more personally and asking people questions. We went down to their booth shortly afterwards and got to talk to some of the guys at the 501st booth. And how do they put together trooper armor? And what goes into it? And, you know, why spend all the time and investment? What do they do? I mean, they talk about some of the charity events that they do, hospital visits. It's always heartwarming to hear some of what these costuming organizations do, because it's most certainly not just to go to conventions. That's certainly where they're the most visible, but they do so much more.
Yes. Yes, they do. What was the next panel that we went to?
After the Meet the Fan Groups, we went, we went to Intro to the Expanded Universe, another Star Wars panel. One that we recorded, if it worked, I haven't even checked it.
If it worked.
if it worked, we recorded that. And that was a very good panel in terms of there are a lot of people that we know from the online Star Wars community there, and that was kind of cool. Brian Young from the Big Shiny Robot blog, he was there. We got to say hi, meet him face-to-face for the first time. Nancy, a writer for EU Cantina, was there. Tracy from the head honcho over at Club Jade's blog was there. So it's kind of cool to actually meet some folks. As far as the panel went, it wasn't quite as interesting for me because I was familiar with some of the material they talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But the premise of the panel was just, if you were going to start reading the Star Wars Expanded Universe, where would you start? And I need to read the Infinities comics. That's one thing I definitely got from that panel. And it was a pretty well-informed panel there. So that made it a bit of fun. And the Star Wars room is in the Marriott atrium level in one of the meeting rooms. I'd say it seats a good 100 people, 200 people, something like that. That's just a shot in the dark. It's going to be packed for... Actually, I don't know if Carrie Fisher... I know she has a panel. I don't know if it's in that room.
I doubt it's in that
room. It's got to be in a bigger room. So... That was on the Star Wars track. Today was really a Star Wars day for us. We've got some more varied stuff coming up tomorrow and the next day. But let's see. After that, we went to kind of a myriad of panels. We swung by the podcasting 201, which was a technical podcasting panel. But we only stayed there for a minute because we then headed over to catch the last part of a panel called Heroes of Middle Earth. It was a discussion on heroism in the works of Tolkien. So I'll let you describe that panel, Bethany.
Well, that panel was interesting because, like, we missed the first part of it, so we kind of jumped in as they were getting going. But basically, describes what is a hero and what are heroes in Tolkien's work and the different types of heroes. For instance, Faramir is a hero in that he resists temptation in ways that other people didn't. For instance, like his brother Boromir. But Boromir is also a hero, even though he gave in to the temptation of the ring. He also gave his life to save Merry and Pippin. And so he was a hero in that way. So we just talked about the different kinds of heroes and discussed that and watched a little clip from the movie, and that was fun.
Yeah. And it was more of a back and forth discussion at the panel, so that was pretty cool. And that was the kind of thing where it's getting towards the end of the day, and it was at the intellectual level where my brain was struggling a little bit, to be honest, but it was still very...
I think you were just really tired.
Yeah. But that, it was a lot of fun, no doubt about it there. And then, that would be the end of our day as far as panels go, but just the beginning in terms of the fun and awesomeness.
Yeah. Next, we went to the dealer's room and the exhibitor halls. The different places, basically where
you will never find
stuff and
a more
stuff.
Wretched hive. It's coming building.
Yeah, I think maybe we're getting just a tad slap happy here.
It can get a little bit pushy. It can get a lot of merchandise. People are pretty respectful here as a con. People are pretty friendly, and then there are moments where you're like, really, you really have to cut in front of me. But then there are other times where it hasn't been a universal experience one way or the other. But one thing I do know, the nature of it being spread out between four or five hotels, where the only way to get, you have to get out of the hotel, across the street, or go across a sky bridge between them.
You either get funneled into a sky bridge, and then that funnel gets blocked.
Yeah, it's
or
like
you
a
get
vortex.
Funneled onto a sidewalk. And that gets blocked like a funnel too. So there weren't too many long lines, although we did wait in line. There was a long line for William Shatner's panel. But there weren't too many long lines overall. However, there were tons of people there. And these are hotels. They're massive hotels, yes, but they are hotels. Dragon Con would be a lot easier to navigate, a lot easier to do as a con if it could be in a convention center. And that's one reason why, looking back on C5, I vastly prefer the venue. The venue made C5, very easy to navigate. Yes, you may have had to run from one side of the convention center to another to get to a panels that were going back to back. But at Dragon Con, you do spend hours at a time, maybe not all at the same time, but over the course of a couple of days, it really adds up. The 10 minutes it takes to get here, the 20 minutes it takes to get there, the five minutes you have to take to fight your way to the restroom, just because different points in the hotel that weren't built to have 100 people walking through all at the same time just get clogged. And there are lots of people there, so just packed crowds.
Yeah.
In different areas.
I mean, there's a reason that they put half an hour between each panel set.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean... I guess it was a lot of fun to see... I just remembered something. There is a thing known as Dragon Con TV. It's what they play on the screens at panel rooms, the major panel rooms before the guests arrive there.
Yeah.
Just some pre-show entertainment. And one of them, they're just these little humorous little shorts that are filmed. And one of them was text only, and it just had a thing of text saying, time to get from the Hyatt to the Hilton, 6 minutes. Hilton to the Marriott, 4 minutes. Marriott to the Westin, 7 minutes. Back to the Hilton, when you realize that the Hilton was the place that you needed to be to begin with, 15 minutes.
It wasn't exactly that, but it was very close to that.
Yeah.
Very applicable, so quite funny.
Yeah. So so then we headed to the autograph hall. And
actually, do we want to just kind of briefly touch on what the dealers and exhibitors
are? Oh, sure, yeah.
Well, a ton of different things are being sold there, some things that I wasn't even quite sure what they were. But there is a lot of leather work, costuming, corsets, swords, knives, maces, all kinds of weaponry like that. There were toys for children, there were books,
jewelry,
comics, DVDs, homemade, beautiful jewelry. I'm jealous. And just all kinds of things. Just merchandise from different movies and franchises and from different whole genres that weren't franchise specific, but just, you know, selling unicorns or dragons or bracelets, that sort of thing. But it was really neat to look at. I took some video of it. Hopefully it will turn out.
A number there's one booth that had Star Wars, a huge collection of Star Wars action figures as old as, for you collectors, the Power of the Force 2 waves all the way up to the modern time, and they're charging $5 a piece, a pop, you know, for their figures, which is a great price. For collectors, I'm not a collector, can't even believe that I know all that information off the top of my head, but seeing the old Revenge of the Sith carded figures from 2005. So that was kind of nostalgic for me because I remember being in Target and staring at those figures and reading the backs off of all of them to get the information of what that character was or what he did because I hadn't seen the film at that point. So that was kind of a fond memory for me when, of course, some people were, that's what how they remember the vintage line. So I thought that was kind of funny. But you know what? Speaking of Star Wars collectibles and action figures, I think now is a great time to thank our sponsor for these past couple episodes, and indeed for these Dragon Con episodes, ToyHut.com. Now, you may be wondering, what is Toy Hut?
Indeed.
Well, I'm glad you asked.
You just love doing that.
Well,
don't
I'm
you?
Glad you asked. Toy Hut is the source for Star Wars action figures, the Hasbro collections, all kinds of Star Wars collectibles. You name it: Power of the Force, the vintage figures, the modern EU comic packs. Those are awesome. You name it, they got it. And head over to their website, ToyHut.com, with two T's, to browse their vast selection of Star Wars collectibles. And when you check out, be sure to put in the comments section that you heard about them through the Star Wars Report. And hey, send them a thank you. Send us a thank you. They're who are making this coverage possible. So
yes.
that's really awesome of them. So go ahead and head over to ToyHut with two T's.com. And go crazy. Shop away.
And we definitely wouldn't have this coverage without them because we are using our shiny
and they're collectors. That's
digital
what...
audio recorder. And we're still getting used to it.
Yeah. And they're collectors. It makes a big difference. They know that you want your collectibles in prime condition, and they so if you're
no
if
crushed
you're
boxes
yeah if you're gonna, rather than shopping at that shady eBay dealer that you're not really sure the item wasn't stolen, then shop over at ToyHut.com, because stolen merchandise is bad. That should be I'm just making that completely up, but go over to ToyHut with two T's dot com.
Definitely slap happy.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and head over to The Autograph Hall. That's where we went next. Kind of blends together. I think when you're in a large crowd, there are particles of your memory that are sucked in the vortex of brains and body heat of large masses of people in one room. Yeah. Because I can't remember who we saw in what order, but I do remember we did see some awesome people, starting with the Clone Wars cast. Actually, wasn't it Mr. Mayhew that we began with, come to think of it?
Yes, we did.
Mr. Peter...
He isn't actually Clone Wars cast, but Star Wars.
Technically.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Peter Mayhew, of course, the actor who portrayed the iconic and classic role of Chewbacca in the original Star Wars trilogy. The Friendly Giant, as many call him.
Yeah.
And that guy was awesome.
He was.
Just no two ways about it. He was a very friendly fellow. He came to Dragon Con. I know he's had knee surgery recently this year, and he came anyway to see the fans. He has his book here, which I can't remember off the top of my head, but you can go to petermayhew.com and find out who he is, find out some of his recent literature.
He has two books.
Okay.
And I'm mixing up the titles of the two.
Gotcha. But yeah, head over to his website. We stopped by and said hi. He was very friendly. And that was nice. But also, we stopped by Tom Kane's booth, who's a voice actor, the voice of Yoda. Okay, it's too late. I can't do the impression. But also the voice of Admiral Yularen in the Clone Wars, because he's always making the announcements.
Yes.
And so, actually, funny story. The one thing that I've been carrying around all day at the convention is a mic stand, a microphone stand. I actually loop it through my belt, and it actually doesn't look unlike a sawn-off shotgun. And it's about the same weight, too, which is kind of funny. But I blend right in because there are much weirder things being worn at Dragon Con. But it's folded up, so it's kind of hard to recognize. It just looks like a collection of small pipes. But he recognized it immediately, and he's like, oh, is that a... I see that's a mic stand. I'm like, yeah, yeah. And he just kind of gave me this look. And I thought to myself, self... I could explain. Well, we do a podcast. It's but then I thought, nah, no, I'm not even. I'm just gonna leave it at that. I'm not even gonna try to explain it. I just like walking around with a mic stand hooked to my belt. But of course, I use it for our digital recorder so that I don't kill my arms holding them for an hour during a panel. So that was kind of a funny experience. And then we ran into Miss Ashley Eckstein.
Yes, we did. It was very nice seeing her again. We both met her at Celebration 5 in Orlando.
Yeah, Ashley, of course, is the voice of Ahsoka Tano.
Right, yes. And she is also, I guess you could say, owner? But anyway, she's
founder,
CEO. The founder of Her Universe, which is a clothing and accessories item for science fiction
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, her clothing line is really neat. I think I will probably break down. It's finally.
You've been thinking about it. Yeah.
Months now. I'll probably break down and get one this weekend.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's really cool. Girls, if you're listening to the show, check them out. If you like Star Wars t-shirts, Battlestar Galactica t-shirts, purses, jewelry, accessories, it's really amazing. They're high quality clothes,
mm-hmm.
So they're not those t-shirts that wear out after 6 uses, and yeah.
And be sure when you go over to heruniverse.com and click the checkout and you put in Star Wars Report. Then no, I'm kidding. I wish.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. But,
no, Miss Eckstein is a very, very nice lady, and
we got to talk to her and her husband David for a while, and they were really nice.
David Eckstein, yeah. A well-known baseball player, actually, mm-hmm. In the MLB, and I know nothing about baseball, so I didn't.
I'm kidding. Yes, there are all these cool people with cool websites.
He thought it was kind of funny because he's here and nobody recognizes him, but he's kind of used to everybody wanting his autograph at baseball games and such, so that was kind of funny to talk to him. But then we also went on to visit, well, actually, there are a large amount of people in the autograph hall. There were Smallville was represented. They had Michael Rosenbaum there. Mm-hmm. They had the cast of The Walking Dead, a television series from AMC. They had Eureka, Dollhouse, Battlestar Galactica. Being Human, the new, the U.S. series, big presence. And the Being Human, we talked to Sam Huntington, also known as the Werewolf. I'll show my ignorance. I don't know his actual name in the show, but
I blinked.
Really nice and energetic fellow, really energetic fellow. I think it was, I have a feeling it was his first con, or maybe it was just his first Dragon Con.
I know it was his first Dragon Con because he said so. He seemed a little bit nervous, but quite excited to be there. So.
And talk to Megan Rath, the AKA the Ghost Lady.
Sally,
thank you.
I didn't blame her.
Oh, see, you know. Okay, yeah. But I'm showing my own ignorance there, but also very nice. She got me.
Yes, she did.
I walked up and I was like, hello, and I was trying to think of something friendly to say. So I'm like, think of something. And I said, welcome to Atlanta. And she's like, oh, where are you from? And I'm like, Chattanooga, Tennessee, because that's the nearest large city as a landmark to where we live. And she's like, but then you're not from Atlanta, so you can't welcome me from Atlanta. And I'm just like,
and she just kind of grinned, and I was laughing at Riley.
Well,
then Riley said, so what day did you get here? Because we got here Thursday night, so if we got here before you, we can welcome you. She thought about it for a second, and then she put her hands on her hips, and she was like, okay, you got me there. But
yeah, that
we
was
explain
funny.
We'll be moving to the Atlanta area soon.
Yeah.
So we're actually kind of, this is becoming home, sort of.
Ish.
Home is wherever kind of. We travel.
Yeah, exactly. We travel a lot. Yeah. You too much. Let's see. We also met, let's talk about the Battlestar Galactica people. Some of the nicest, most fan-friendly actors, the most fan-friendly actors I've seen based on my own personal experience.
I know.
People I've met.
It was amazing.
We walked up to Michael Hogan, and he was like, "Hey there, I'm Colonel Ty, and I'm awesome because I'm Colonel Ty." And a little insider, Bethany and I aren't caught up on Battlestar Galactica. We haven't finished it at all. We've only seen a few episodes. A little more than a few, but we don't know how it ends. So we're really enjoying it. We began it with the miniseries last month and have watched a little bit at a time since. So we are by no means aficionados of Battlestar Galactica, but they were still really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Edward James Olmos, I hope I pronounced that correctly, just an absolute gentleman and really nice to talk to.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was pretty neat, actually. He asked us and found out that this was our first Dragon Con, so he was giving us all sorts of advice about avoiding crowds. It's going to get really busy, and
Admiral,
this is such a day. You have to see the parade. The parade's great. You have to see the parade.
It's like, really Admiral funny. Adama was giving us con advice. That was kind of surreal.
Yeah. It was.
yeah. And we never. Trisha Helfer was there. Her line was insanely long the entire time. I wonder why. but she seemed very friendly as well.
Yeah.
I guess, are we missing anybody in the autograph hall? We did briefly say hi to Tamara Morrison, New Zealand fellow native, the actor in Star Wars who played Jango Fett. And all of the clones. And also did the semi-controversial voiceover of Boba Fett in The Empire Strikes Back. Bet you didn't know that. Well, actually, you probably did.
I bet 3/4 of them knew that, probably.
Yeah. that's got a little bit of nerd trivia there. But yeah, it changed it from put captains... wow, I'm doing it wrong. It changed it from put Captain Solo in the cargo hold with more of an American accent, which is ironic because Jeremy Bullock is British. And then they changed it to the New Zealand. It's like, now it's put Captain Solo in the cargo hold. And so now Tamara Morrison, he's also done a number of other things. Spartacus, Gods of the Arena, in the more serious genre. I have not seen that show, but I know he had a reasonably large role, I believe. I remember just seeing a cool poster of it and saying, that's what an older clone looks like. that was kind of cool. But that would sign off the autograph hall. We toured a little bit, said hi to a few people, and we came on, and here we are. And it's insanely late, so we're going to go ahead and sign off in just a second and get this thing uploaded. And thank you guys for tuning in to this special Dragon Con coverage from the Star Wars Report. Be sure to head to our website, StarWarsReport.com. If you look in the show notes of the episodes we're posting, these daily episodes, you will find cool pictures. And if we can ever get bandwidth A and time B, we'll try to upload all of our pictures to the Facebook page. But you will find a good highlight assortment of pictures on the actual posts on our website, StarWarsReport.com. That's also where you can find our Twitter, Facebook, how to subscribe to the show, all that fun stuff. So for Friday's con coverage, I'm Riley.
And I'm Bethany.
And remember, many Bothans died
to bring you this podcast.
See ya.